What is up, everybody? Welcome back to the Dual Screens Gamescast. This is episode 15 of this beautiful, beautiful podcast. Remember, this used to be the Nintendo Dual Screens, but it's not anymore. It's now just the Dual Screens Gamescast. And I am one of your hosts, Stephen Fontana. And with me, as always, each and every week, it never fails, he is Andy Asimakis. How are you, Andy?
I'm feeling good. Happy Easter, everyone. A toast to you, all you Easter celebrators out there.
Yes, it is that day of the year. It's the day that Zombie Jesus has
the Lord has risen
come and scared everybody. Really, really bummed. Not gonna lie, this whole quarantine thing really screwed up Easter. But we did do another Zoom hangout with the whole family for
That's
Easter.
That's really cute.
Yeah, some were eating, some were not. But you know, we already ate here at this house. But we got to hang out. All the kids got to see everybody and everything. It was fun. How are you doing, Andy? Everything's good?
Good. We had shepherd's pie.
Ooh, shepherd's pie.
It was amazing. I told, because Ken was, you know, he's Catholic, like yourself. So I was like, hey, your Lent is over. You're back to meat, because he gave up meats for the whole
40 days.
The whole fucking thing.
What is he, a goddamn martyr? Why does he just take his fucking eye out?
Well, he is Filipino, so it's what they're good at.
I know.
So I was like, you should make a shepherd's pie, because I wanted shepherd's pie.
Shepherd's pie.
I get to celebrate Easter twice, which is nice for me. Really nice.
We had chili. The wife made chili today. It was very delicious.
Mm.
Very, very delicious. For those of you that are new to this channel, this is the Dual Screens Gamescast. This is a show where Andy and I, and sometimes a third wheel, we go over the top stories from the big three companies and a wild card, and we debate who are the biggest winners and losers of the week, as well as discussing video games past, present, and future. The Dual Screens Gamescast posts each and every Monday for your listening pleasure on your podcast service of choice, including Podbean, iHeartRadio, and Spotify, and you could also catch it later on youtube.com/dualscreenstv, and if you're really lucky and you really want to be a part of the action, we record this show live every single Sunday, 9 p.m. on twitch.tv/dualscreensstreams. On this week's show, Sony gets sensational, Nintendo has got a China problem, and don't we all, and Microsoft stays inside. Oh, and Gearbox is a hot mess, maybe. But before we get into the show, let's tell you about our two other shows on this very same channel. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. On this same feed, you can listen to the Dual Screens podcast. That's our flagship show, guys. That is where we bring on industry guests and we talk about their career and the project that they're working on. That's right, it's an interview show. All right, it could be a programmer, it could be a game director, it could be a sound designer, it could be a voice actor. It doesn't matter. They have a story to tell, and we are the podcast for them to tell that story. That posts each and every Thursday for your listening pleasure on those same channel. You don't have to subscribe to a different channel, folks. It's the same channel. And this week, we had Kevin Anderson on to talk about Taninani, a adorable puzzle game where you're physically moving the level around to guide one character to the other character, and the goal, as it were. Beautiful game. Andy actually did that interview solo because I have children during the day, and unfortunately our guest was across the ocean, so we had to record during the day, and my children just do not allow that. And of course, the finale of Andy Explains It All, that's right, the season finale of Andy Explains It All is finally up. That goes up. Our seasonal content goes up every other Friday, sometimes every three Fridays, really depends on the recording schedule. But Andy Explains It All. Andy, you took us home with Candyman. That was your surprise. I loved it. I thought it was great. Every time you do one of these things about something I really could not give any less shits about, you make me want to watch them.
I think that's the best part.
Yeah.
And I make it sound interesting to some extent.
You do. Even the shitty movies.
It gauges the interest in you.
Yeah. So those are our shows. And that, of course, like I said, same channel, same place. And we're doing a new thing on Mondays. We're hanging out with the community, sometimes streaming it, sometimes not. But we're doing a game night, family game night. So if you're free on Monday nights, usually around 9 or 10 p.m., depending on other people's schedule. We have Monday Night Mayhem, where we play a bunch of multiplayer games together. I think we're going to do Jackbox again tomorrow. that if you want to kind of organize that or whatever, you can hit me up on Twitter at BatChild27 or the show at NDS Podcast. We can get you involved in that. But if you do want to support us on Patreon, you could do so by going to patreon.com/NDS Podcast, just like our Patreon producer, Colton the Apprentice Nestler, who actually is going to be running the Jackbox game. We do appreciate that, Colton. We can't continue to grow without your support. And if you do support us at any monetary value, you get invited to our VIP Discord channel, where, again, you could get in there and voice chat with us during Monday Night Mayhem. It's a great thing. You also get a bonus episode, and you could also vote on the bonus episode topic, all for just $1. And there are other tiers as well. There's a $3 tier, a $5 tier, a $10 tier, and so on. All right, Andy. Before we get into the dual screens report and everything else, we have to start, of course, with what is going to be our first original non-logo t-shirt. And is The Adventures in Gaming! We've been playing Final Fantasy VII Remake, ladies and gentlemen. Woo!
Oh my god, so they did it. They actually went and did it.
I can't believe
they pulled it off.
I can't believe it.
So we're not going to get into this too much because I want to save a lot of this banter for the post show. But I want to say, having played through almost the entire game, I can see why this game needs more than one episode, as it were, to complete.
Yeah.
When you see all that's crammed in there, all the story, if you cut all the side stuff out, it's still a pretty beefy game. So it makes sense now, having played it, that it would be more than one release or multiple releases, as it were.
Yeah. I'm about 5 hours in, and I don't remember much except for the opening of Final Fantasy VII, and I remember, like, some beats. I think I remember, like, what happens at the end of discs and, like, the beginning of discs, but, like, my memory is super, super hazy because I've started the game so many times since I first beat it, but I'm just like, I've done this already, and I put it away. Like, I'm not one of those crazy people that, like, plays the game over and over again every year, you know? But this game is the perfect action RPG combat. Like, if you're looking for fast-paced but strategy and deep thought and, like, just absolutely gorgeous and fluid, like, this is the game. Like, this is the perfect battle system for me as a fan of the genre. Like, I love action RPGs. That's, like, probably my top one. Like, there's third person action adventure and then action RPGs. Like, those are like my top two. And my favorite game up until this point, and it hasn't dethroned it yet, but my favorite game up until this point is The Witcher 3. And, like, The Witcher 3 is much slower, more methodical, and stuff like that. If you took this combat into The Witcher 3, The Witcher 3 would never be touched ever again.
Oh my,
like,
god.
Nobody would ever be, like, The Witcher 3 would just, all other games would stop existing. That's just what would happen. But yeah, this is phenomenal, phenomenal game. And we'll get more deeper into our, like, I don't want to say spoilery, but we'll do more of, like, a deep dive.
We'll discuss, like, our pros and cons, like, where we are in the story so far, and just our...
Yeah.
Our overall impressions of the game.
And then once we both finish it, we'll do more of a deep dive. Maybe we'll do a separate episode of, like, a review, you know, in review or whatever, something like that show.
I would like that.
We could do something like that. It's been a while since we did one of those.
We should do that.
I have also been playing Animal Crossing quite a bit. We just had the bunny event, which, thank God, that effing thing is over, because I could not, for the life of me, deal with these eggs anymore. Like, the eggs are just so intrusive. They really shouldn't have done what they did as far as getting the eggs, but I wish they would have done more, like, side quests to get eggs, and, like, you would just get a bunch of them as opposed to continuously screwing up getting normal things for eggs. But
what
whatever.
Do eggs do?
So in this game, so the Easter Bunny showed up, I think, on the first, and he said, "I've hidden eggs all around the island. Collect them, and you make special Easter or Bunny Day, as they call it, items with
God,
it.
It's so,
like,
Bunny Day.
I know, you get, like, you know, wallpaper and furniture, and, like, everything's egg themed. Everything's, like, Bunny Day themed. And once you create all 30 items, he gives you a 31st item to make. You make that item, and then he gives you the ingredients or the DIY recipe to make a super special magic wand, but you need like star fragments to make this magic wand. So I don't even know how to get star fragments yet. So like it was totally not worth it. It's a fucking magic wand. What the hell am I going to do with that? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. And because I was so engrossed in doing that this morning, I missed the turnip lady. So I don't even know what she was selling turnips for. So now I have to wait till next Sunday to buy turnips, which sucks.
Turnip lady.
I've also been playing games in the backlog. I've been playing Control, which I absolutely adore. Like, one of the questions I asked you last week, I said, because I was debating whether or not I was going to actually start Control or if I was going to just give it back to you for the DLC and then just start other things.
You thought it would be slow. That was your initial
I just
fear.
Thought it was going to be one of those games where it, like, teaches you everything and, like, you're trying to figure shit out and it's like, ugh. And you're like, no, kind of jumps right in. You were not understated. You way understated that.
I want to give you a nice
second. You start that game, shit is going bananas, and it's right. great. It's so right. so good.
I want to get your foot in the door and let you have semi low expectations. Okay, it's not a slow burn. It's not gonna hold my hand for freaking an hour and a half where shit goes down. I was like, no, it's good. It's great pacing. It's really good. Yeah. And then,
yeah. So I got through. I cleared the. And I don't know if you go back, but I like. "Quote unquote," cleared the second area, so now I'm going to the I forget her name, Warren or what the hell's her name, Margaret, I don't know. names they go in and out. Like I'm playing this game like I'm just kind of barreling through. I mean, I'm
it's all for the action. The story is kind of there, but I think it's the weakest story from Remedy, to be honest, but I love the gameplay.
I'm digging it. Like,
it's a good story. I'm not going to lie, but it's no Alan Wake.
I've never played any of their games, so I don't.
Dude.
I have no stick to hold it up against. Like, I'm comparing this to, like, a God of War, an Uncharted, like, any of those, or a Tomb Raider. Like, I'm comparing it to the other third-person action games, and to me, it's right on par. Like, the presentation value, the value of presentation is beautiful. Like, I love the giant letters that stamp on the screen.
It's got great color, great lighting.
Yeah. I mean, there's some things that frustrate me, like when an enemy's throwing something at you and you use your telekinesis, you might pull something from, like, 400 feet to your right, and you're like, why did you bring that?
Holding a fire extinguisher?
Yeah, like some of those things are a little frustrating, but mm-hmm. I'm really digging it so far. I really like I like where the story's going. I like the ambiguity of it all, and it's really creepy. Bloodstained, I finally took the train.
You did it. You're on the train. Yep. You got the pass. And
I got the pass. I am not the only one that was stuck where I was. Like, I looked on the internet. I was like, where is this fucking library? And there were dozens, and I mean dozens of people asking about this shit on Reddit. Like, where's the library? Where the hell is it?
Just put a book.
Put a little book on the map.
Make it a red square. Make a different color square. Like, hey, this is like where things that are not threatening are. Like, your home base and the library.
Right, exactly. That would have been nice. but it is what it is. So, what else? Am I playing anything else? Yes, I played a lot of Forgone, loving it. I've been playing a lot. Yeah. I love Forgone. I would say I'm about 4 hours in. It's not a finished product, so I don't want to give like overall thoughts, but I do think, and you can mark my words right now, listener and viewer, mark my words, this game is going to be gigantic. It is going to win whenever it does officially come out. It is going to win some Game of the Year nods from different outlets. It's going to be a very, very big game. The loot loop is fantastic. The combat is fantastic. The world is absolutely beautiful. The story right now, it doesn't seem like it's not taking precedent. They're really putting the action forward, at least where I am right now. So I look forward to seeing them flesh that out a little bit, but like the enemy designs are awesome. All the different weapons you can get, the permutations you could have, the upgrading system. It's beautiful, beautiful game. And it's in early access. So I can't wait to see what the finished product is. What about you, Andy? You playing anything different?
Just Final Fantasy, dude. This is why when you catch up in the backlog a little bit, you can breathe and buy a new game guilt-free. And that's what I did on Thursday. But Final Fantasy.
Yeah.
And I've been just playing it nonstop. And the PS4 is in rest mode. That's all it has to be. I gotta just go back in.
Oh yeah, my PS4 is always in rest mode.
Cannot wait. Sorry.
I bought a and I'll do an unboxing of it. I mean, it's not a new product, but I bought one and I figured why not? I'll do an unboxing. I got the side fan for the PS4 Pro. The little thing that clips to the side because it does kick on a lot.
Seem less mission control.
Yeah, I didn't realize how loud it was until because I play with headphones on, and I walked away. Colton actually started a PlayStation party with me just to check in because it was like 2 a.m. He's like, "Why are you still awake?" So we were just chatting, and then I couldn't hear him. If I had my ear off like this, so that because I want to be able to hear myself if I'm talking to somebody. I couldn't hear him because the fan was so fucking loud. It was drowning out.
It sounds like someone's vacuuming, like right in your ear.
It's real loud. And I think it's my fault because, and I know people complain about this, but like, I'm not stupid. Like, you don't put your console in a enclosed space. My console is in an area. It's right on my desk, and it's an area it's open on all four sides. However, when I was cleaning my desk, I pushed my PlayStation up or back towards the wall. So it has about 2 inches of space. But there was a paper towel stuffed behind it that I didn't know about. And when I pulled that paper towel out, it was felt like it was on fucking fire. It was so hot. I was like, holy shit. So I pulled the PlayStation front a little bit, forward towards me a little bit. And I got rid of that, and it definitely cooled down a little bit. But I'm gonna put that side fan on there. I'm gonna see if that makes a difference. Because I used to have a for my old PS4, I used to have, and this was just because it's how my brain works. It wasn't making loud noise, but I just didn't want it to. So like I had a little desk fan. It was about yay big, I would say, about the size of an apple, and I would put it next to it and blow it from one end to the through to the other, and my PlayStation never overheated. But yeah, my PlayStation 4 Pro has never overheated. It's never hard crashed. It's never done any of that shit. But it gets really loud. So I wanted to take care of that.
All right.
It's time for a minute of Apex with Steve.
Bam. Get a drink.
Bam. Bam. Ladies and gentlemen, Duos is here. Duos is finally. It's so beautiful, Duos. Me and Mikey Kirsch going in there just. Just shooting dudes. Mikey Kirsch has said something to me. Okay. And I don't see him in this chat, which is upsetting me. But he said something to me. He said, Steve, when you're good, you are way better than me. The problem is I'm not good
most of the time.
Most of the time. But when I am on, my dudes. And Mikey Kirsch is here. He just said hello. Hi, Mikey Kirsch. We love you very much.
There he is.
And that is a minute of Apex with Sexy Steve. Bastard. He's probably playing Final Fantasy because I heard he's got the hots for Jesse.
Oh, Jesse.
Can we just talk about how incredible of a they did such a good job, and I'm not up to Aerith yet, but they did such a good job with the girls in this game. Like you care about them. And they're not just
all of them.
Yeah.
Jesse, Biggs, Wedge, Marlene, all the side characters all have so much heart, personality, and character that when the shit goes like sideways and people start dying, it's like, oh, this is worse than what I thought it would be. Now I'm crying.
And Wedge is
why am I crying?
Wedge is Foggy Nelson, the actor that plays Foggy.
Oh yeah.
You know, that dude. And he's great. But all right, let's get into the indie news update. Andy, why don't you take it away for the indie news update?
Okay, so if you guys weren't going to pre-order Streets of Rage 4 or buy it day one, you're going to reconsider seeing this news. So there's now a retro mode that's available with the physical pre-order bonus where you get all the classic skins in glorious 16-bit amazingness plus the original game and the sequel soundtracks also included, plus the sound effects, all the the 16-bit Genesis punching and booping and beeping, it's all in there. So yeah,
does anybody else get Streets of Rage and Final Fight mixed up all the time?
I do
all the time. I'm like, wait, which one was that had the sound, the music that was like boom 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 boom, and then you could press the special, and the car comes and shoots the thing. That was Final Fight, right?
That was Final Fight. Special with a car? I think it was Final Fight.
Right, you hit the thing in the police right. car, and it goes do 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 right. do do do. It's like
you hit up and attack, like on
something like
that's,
that.
That's the trigger.
Something like that. All right, that is your indie news update. We have other indie news that's going to be scrambled about, but that's like the highlight mm-hmm. of the week. So before we get into the official debate here on the dual screens report, we have the stuff that didn't make the cut. These aren't considered the big stories, but they are part of the larger picture here. Our first story here is a Sony story, and I'm going to take this one.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a rumor. This is coming from Push Square. Rumor. Sony has been working on Silent Hill reboot. Get this, Andy. Get this. For 18 months.
Okay, Steven, this is a lot. I feel like I just gave myself the Apple microphone, by the way. this is like, again, this is way too persistent to not be true, I feel. It's going to hurt me if it's not true, because I want it to be real so badly. And when you have Konami saying, this is not real, like 2 weeks back, don't buy this shit. And you have these leakers and news sources just doubling down the story. It's like, this has to be real.
Here's like, if there is an NDA, right? Can Kojima say, hey, I'm sure there's an NDA for this. This game doesn't exist. As like a wink. Like,
true. But again, this is, I don't think this is the Kojima game though.
Well, whatever.
There was two games in there.
All right, let me read this thing. All right. There's a lot going on with Silent Hill at the moment. It's actually becoming quite difficult to unpack. Here's what we think we know. Japan Studio is working on a series reboot for Konami with Gravity Rush creator Keiichiro Toyama. Nailed it. Directing the project. He obviously started his career working the original Silent Hill, so it is a superb fit. Artist Masahiro Ito and composer Akira Yamaoka, nailed it, are also set to be involved. Alongside that, there is speculation that Silent Hills will be making a comeback. That's going to be really stupid if they come out with a Silent Hill and a Silent Hills game. Like, even if it's a year apart, that's just dumb. Recently.
We could totally do that.
By Instagram images.
Make more money.
let's see. These appear to be separate projects at the moment, and it's unclear if they're connected, if they even exist at all, of course. It's the Sony reboot that currently appears to be further along. According to rumor monger Dusk Golem, what world do we live in that Dusk Golem is breaking news? Writing on Reset Era.
Hey, he's pretty reliant. Yeah, you know?
But use a name. The title has been in production for 18 months. The story goes that Konami was looking for a partner and Toyama wanted to return to horror. Sony is footing the project's bill, but it believes brand recognition gives this title a better shot at success than, say, a Siren sequel. Konami will get a percentage of profits. All right, so yeah, that's interesting stuff.
So one last thing, you know why this thing holds a little bit more water is because I can see the there's a risk in making a Silent Hill game because it's a very small audience. I mean, it's gotten bigger since the last game was canceled, so it's got that going for it. But Toyama in Japan Studio is famous for making great games with small budgets. Like, he made Gravity Rush on like a dime. So to trust him, who wants to go back to horror and was part of the first digital Silent Hill team, to make a new game on a small budget, like low risk, big reward, makes total sense to me.
All right, Andy. And also, I got to say, it's probably going to do way better than it would have 3 years ago because of the success of the Resident Evil remakes.
And Final Fantasy. So we're living in like this new like remake like trend now. And if you get it right, it's going to make a lot of money for both Sony and Konami.
Indeed. All right, hit up the next story there, Andy.
All right, so we've touched on this before about the great next-gen debate, and does power really matter? And it seems time and time again that as more developers play with the PS5 and they hear about what it can do, they know that the power disparity isn't such a big deal.
What is power? That's what they don't tell you.
Right.
GPU power does not equal all power.
Right. So this comes from Gaming Bolt, and this is according to the Helheim Hassel developer, who says that the PS5 and Xbox GPU won't be a difference. They won't matter. But the Tempest engine that Sony is offering is pretty awesome. So he says that both consoles seem very powerful and way beyond the capabilities needed for anything we will be making for the foreseeable future, which makes sense. Like, you have all this power in both systems. It's right. It's going to take a while before we can say, oh, we need more power to do what we want to do. But the Tempest and the 3D sound elements of the PS5 are what's getting developers really excited, like having fully 3D audio in your games. So again, this is how you get the fire going. You light that fuse, get the buzz going. And that's what we have here, I feel, with the PS5. Mm.
The other thing that you note is the same developer did an interview about backwards compatibility, and something that jumped out to me was that what they discern here is that it's possible that there's not going to be a legacy backwards compatibility for PlayStation, so meaning PS1, PS2 titles,
right?
Which definitely sucks. If that is the case, that's a huge L. That is no bueno. Like, you need to get those games working. Like, that's the whole point of this.
Right.
All right. Now we're going to move on to the Microsoft world, I think. Let me see. Yep. Okay. Mike, this comes from Game Rant. Microsoft Excel, Excel. Wow. Good. Microsoft exec calls PS5 reveal, quote, unfortunate. A Microsoft program manager calls PS5 reveal unfortunate and reveals why he isn't worried about how powerful Sony's console is. Let's see. I want to get to the quote.
Where's his face is unfortunate. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Yeah, you got him. Told him. A Microsoft program manager who has worked on the Xbox team calls PS5 reveal unfortunate. Sony was criticized by some fans for the way it officially confirmed the PS5 specs, as it was incredibly technical and didn't confirm some of the information that they wanted. In a new episode of the Dealer Gaming Podcast, William Sitwell, a principal program manager at Microsoft, who has also been part of the Xbox team, gave his thoughts about the PS5 reveal. Quote, audience expectations don't match what the content plans are. This is what happened this week with this week's Inside Xbox stream, where the team revealed new information about games like Grounded, but didn't give viewers the Xbox Series X announcements that they wanted. Stillwell also noted, I think what you saw with PS5 reveal was the unfortunate byproduct of a GDC talk being turned into a marketing event. The PS5 reveal, which was what Sony had planned to do at GDC, which was an industry audience, was one of the first times the company had officially confirmed information about the console. Some fans had thought that Sony could confirm PS5's price, and others thought it could reveal some games in the PS5 launch lineup. However, when this didn't happen, some fans criticized the company. The way the console specs were revealed also led many to compare it to the Xbox Series X specs, which had been confirmed weeks before. The PS5 does have fewer teraflops than the Xbox Series X, and some think that makes it Microsoft's console much more powerful than Sony's. Stillwell, who, quote, loved the PS5 reveal, thinks that Sony has done some, quote, cool tech, thinks this way too, and said Microsoft, quote, isn't worried about power narrative. Stillwell confirms, comments confirmed by, so there you go. And you can read about this chat if you want to. It's right here. So you can read along. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, Sony really should have communicated what they were going to show, or at least weren't as tone deaf about what their audience was going to want. Because they took something that was clearly for one sect of their audience and tried to shove it down the throats of people who wouldn't know half of what they were talking about, and it kind of just didn't work. But I knew what we were getting into, and I liked what I saw. Some of it lost me, like the sound stuff. I was just like, okay, whatever, I don't care.
This is how your ear works.
Yeah, this is how the inner ear bounces sound.
Well, my first thought was, what PS5 reveal are you talking about, dude, bro? That didn't happen yet. We ain't getting no PS5 reveal. So,
right.
Whatever, Jeeves.
Well, they call it a spec reveal, but whatever.
Sure.
All right, Andy, take the next story.
All right. So, here we go. Obsidian is doing the best things. We talk about features that every modern game should have as you hum along.
Sorry.
Are you going to hum over my entire thing?
Yep. Sorry, you put a like a tagline for this story in our doc, and it made me think of the Blues Brothers.
Oh, okay. With John Goodman?
Yes, I was humming.
Well, we're talking about arachnophobia. So apparently there was a fan who was watching the trailer for Grounded during the Xbox Inside presentation. Mm-hmm. And he said that those giant spiders pretty much told me I probably won't be playing much of this.
Right.
Well, Obsidian said, good news that they're implementing a arachnophobia mode to help with those who aren't fans of spiders and still want to enjoy the game. That is the most forward-thinking of any developer.
Yeah.
If it's so real.
This reminds me directly of Tricky Mick, who is a friend of the show, owner and creator of ProvenGamer.com and the Trophy Horse podcast. He can't play games that have spiders in it. Like, physically can't. He gets ill. He throws the controller. He starts to dry heave. He gets very, very scared, very nervous. Like me, I don't. A video game is a video game, right? But he can't play them. He just can't do it. I know, but he can't. He just can't do it. So this is pretty cool because arachnophobia is not like the tweet says. It's not a people who don't like spiders. It's people who get physically shaken by the thought of spiders. So good on them. Whatever. It is what it is.
Sure. I'm not,
you know what? File that in the.
It was almost hype.
Good,
by the
good,
way.
Good that, use that, of.
That's
of,
how close it was.
And Tricky Mick is here in the chat, by the way. He says, "No, I can't." talking about spiders. All right, so here's a rumor for you: the Final Fantasy VII Legacy Collection is coming to the Nintendo Switch. What the hell does that mean? Let's figure it out. Final Fantasy VII Legacy Collection for its way. It's a long-awaited Final Fantasy remake releasing to rave reviews. Interest in Final Fantasy VII story is at an all-time high. And this is coming from Game Rant, if I didn't say that already. Many fans know the story extends beyond the original game with things like Crisis Core, Final Fantasy VII, which was a great game, and Dirge of Cerberus, which was not a great game. But those games are only available on older platforms and not easily accessible to most. However, in a recent rumor, to be believed, that could be changing in the near future. A Reddit user, here we go, here's fucking Reddit, called SqueenixLeaker0404 claims that something called
Final... the word leaker is in his name?
Yep. Final Fantasy VII Legacy Collection is in the works for the Nintendo Switch. Apparently, Final Fantasy Legacy Collection will consist of Crisis Core, Dirge of Cerberus, and Before Crisis. The supposed leaker doesn't clarify if the original Final Fantasy VII will be included in the bundle, though, which given this title, little fact, a little bit available on the Switch. Yeah, because that's already available. For those of you who don't know, Before Crisis was an action RPG. It was a prequel to Final Fantasy VII that launched all the way back in 2004 on mobile devices. And then Crisis Core was also a prequel, which is a little bit weird. Crisis Core, I think I finished. I don't remember if I did. That was a PSP game. Pretty sure I finished that. Dirge of Cerberus, I could not play. That game was just bad. It just was not good.
You shouldn't do some things with a beloved IP, and that was one of them. Like, it's like a third-person action game with heavy on their shooting elements.
They was like, hey, you know what the Western audience really likes? Shooters. Let's make a Final Fantasy shooter. And then they were like, we can't do this. We don't know how. So they, like, abandoned that mechanic midway through development and was like, oh, but it's still in parts of this. What do we do? Just release it. We need to get something out. So that'd be cool if that does actually come out. Andreas,
all right.
Take our last story here for our...
Since we're balls deep in rumors right now, here comes another rumor in the wild card section. Apparently, there are 4 Modern Warfare games planned to release, according to some new leaks. Leaks after leaks, they're just rumors. There's no leak. There's no assets. There's no video. There's no email. It's just someone saying, hey, this is what I think I know is happening.
So is Modern Warfare not Call of Duty anymore?
I don't know.
Is like Modern Warfare its own franchise now?
I stopped caring years ago. I don't know what's happening. Call of Duty and Modern Warfare. And is Black Ops its own thing?
Black Ops.
Is that a separate thing too?
And Ghosts. There's
Black Ops 4. Ghosts. Advanced Warfare. Is that a fifth one? Anyway, so new news. Apparently, there's planned to be 4 Modern Warfare games right now, and each story is going to take on a horseman and give more story to other characters such as Sandman, Ghost, Soap, etc.
Soap McTavish.
Huh. Right. This could be real because Activision likes money and these games print money for them. So let's make a bunch and sell them to people. So yeah, this could be true. Sounds very likely.
You know, our Discord had a lot to say about this because I'm like, originally I was thinking like, why not just make like one campaign with like the four characters? That would be fine. But like, oh no, this is, you know, just, it's a friend, like, it's not one game being made into four games. It's not like a Final Fantasy VII situation.
No, it's one massive.
It's now a franchise.
We'll give it like the Marvel films.
Right.
We have each chunk tells part of a greater story.
Right.
It's not, here's Infinity War in five movies.
Right. very different. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's fine. I don't know how I feel if those games come out every year. Because now...
Yeah, but they will, though. Because they're always the top 10 sellers. They're like,
I know, but what I'm saying is I don't want them...
Top 10, it's always them.
No. What I'm saying is I don't want them to come out with these four games back to back to back every year. I like when they...
They switch it up. Like, here's your Call of Duty.
I'm nervous that Modern Warfare is now the new Call of Duty, you know?
Yeah. Which is a weird thing to say because they're both the same thing at that one point in life.
That's the bullshit that didn't make the dual screens report. Now it's time, ladies and germs, to get into the dual screens report. This is where Andy and I are going to pick the top story, the number one story for Sony, Microsoft, Nintendo, and a wild card. And we're going to decide who the winners and losers are. And of course, we do, you know, talk about the stuff that didn't make the report as in little extra tiebreakers and whatnot. So, Andy. Start us off here.
Sony did something this past week that was sort of awesome. And it left us with a lot of questions. But the one lingering question was, but can I fuck it? Sony released images and specs and stats of their new controller called the DualSense. Mm-hmm. It is one sexy fucking controller, let me tell you.
Tell me.
When you look at it, it looks like the old boomerang control from PS3. Remember what that would look like back in the day?
I try to forget, but okay.
Yeah, most people do. But this little guy has a bunch of features. It's got haptic feedback. It's got a built-in mic with an on-off switch. It has adaptive triggers. We have now an elevated touchpad. The share button is now gone. We have a create button instead, which is still at this
point.
It's
a share button. It's in the same spot as a share button.
We know what it is, though.
Right.
We know what it's going to do yet. It has a very PS Vita looking design in the buttons, with the clear crystal looking D-pad.
I'm still not convinced that they're not going to light up.
Oh, they will light up for sure.
I think they're going to light up with the color, or at least maybe when you press them, they kind of light up a little bit. That'd be cool.
So a few things here. Let's go into the share button or the create button. Let's see. With Create, we've once again are pioneering new ways for players to create epic gameplay content to share with the world or just to enjoy themselves. Hmm. Who does that? Do you do that?
Nope.
Do you save? You're like, oh, I'll watch that later. I'll masturbate to it when no one's watching. So this was, again, like the PS5 logo reveal, a huge thing. It blew up on Instagram overnight. It was like 5 million likes, like the logo.
I'd like to see these controllers side by side.
Whomever is in charge of the marketing aspect of this whole PS5 thing, I mean, the whole GDC thing notwithstanding, but the slow trickle, people are just so starved for any attention that when this thing came out, when the news dropped, there was like already color mock-ups, like, here's all black, here's all this, here's all that. So Sony has a way of really capturing attention and headlines with their info dumps. And this controller, it looks like, when I see this thing, it looks very next gen to me. Very forward thinking.
That was important. That was important for them because they were, I mean, it's kind of amazing that like the little dribs and drabs that we get explode more than, I mean, this got more views than an entire console reveal.
Mm-hmm.
By Microsoft. So it's like they're doing something right. I mean, it's annoying for us because we want the main course, but we're getting these little appetizers. So what happened was, here's what they did. They gave us a menu, which was that Wired article.
Right.
And we were like, oh, that's what we can eat. Okay.
Wait, no, it was like a prefix. They gave us a shitty appetizer.
Right.
With the DDC reveal.
That wasn't the appetizer. See, the GDC reveal was the manager visiting your table and asking you if you're celebrating anything tonight.
And the same tonight specials. Here's tonight's specials.
And here's tonight's specials. And you're like, fucking damn it. And then we got an appetizer. Now we finally have a true appetizer. Right. These are, let me tell you, these are the best fried ravioli that you'll ever get.
Dude, that dual color thing is really
nice touch. It's cool. I'd like to see the other color stuff that they could do. Like, right. I want to see it side by side with the DualShock 4 because I think there's a little bit of an optical illusion going on here. Like, I just put the DualShock 4 like in front of it. And it has the DualShock 4, if you look at it from the side, it has the handles do have a bit of a curve to it. I feel like it just looks like it's more curved on because of the two tones. Because the center is that pattern is super curved, and it gives the appearance of a more rounded outside edge, I think. The bottom doesn't have, it goes down all the way now to the bottom of the nubs of the sticks instead of being the sticks being more like pronounced, which I like, which is just cool. It just looks nicer. The L1 and R1 look longer, which is another nice thing. It looks like they go down a little bit more.
For the adaptive triggers. So when you're you're going through, like when you're pulling the bow to like shoot off an arrow, you feel like the actual tension in the controller.
I mean, that's fine and everything. Like to me, like that's going to be really cool, but like, am I gonna, like, how many Horizon Zero Dawn 2? Like, is that the only game that I'm really gonna care about with that? I'm not gonna play another Tomb Raider. Tomb Raider 2 lost me completely, so I don't care about that. Like, I guess we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Well, I think the biggest questions here are, one, what would this cost as a independent, like a solo release? Like, if I want to buy a second one, what would it cost me?
I'm guessing this is gonna be an $80 controller.
Yeah, and the other thing I want to ask is, what does the back look like? Because the back is very cleverly hidden here from view. And given that PS4 back button attachment we got on too long ago, this could indicate that they're having something similar to that in the back of the PS5 DualSense.
That Mr. Nuff just put in the chat a perfect GIF overlay. So the control, so you could see that they're really not much different in size. If that
from the PS4.
If it's scaled correctly. Like you're assuming that they're doing that based on the button size. Because the buttons would have to be the same size. So if they're probably mapping it over like the size of the buttons, and it goes over that. So there's a Reddit post that has a GIF of the two controllers kind of like phasing in and out of each other. So if you look at that, Andy, you could see what
it looks like the future. That's it looks so sexy when
it
look
does.
At this
it looks
thing.
Great. It looks great. All right, so let's move on to the next story. This is a Microsoft Xbox story. This is coming from Xbox.com. This is the Xbox Wire. Inside Xbox happened.
Moving on.
No. Listen.
That was all for Buzz.
Yeah, that was just Buzz. That was just for you, Buzz. Moving on. I need to remind you, yes, we love Sony. No, I do not own an Xbox One. I did not have a reason to own an Xbox One. I had a 360 and I had an OG Xbox.
Because get a nice PC.
Andy has all of the systems. Mm-hmm. We do not pull punches with the stupidity that they did this gen, but we fully acknowledge that they were setting themselves up for a very nice future, which we still haven't seen yet, but it is there. We know it is there. So our inside Xbox for April 2020, we have a little bit of a recap. So we got Grounded, got a couple more details. They're going to have a early access. It's going to enter Xbox Game Preview with Xbox Game Game Pass Ultimate and Steam Early Access on July 28th. So that's going to be cool.
The game does look fun.
Yeah, it looks great. Like that's like so far that is the first game that I've seen from Xbox that makes me go, "Oh man." But like I can play it on Steam, so whatever. A closer look at the Xbox Series X technologies.
Yeah.
On the show, Major Nelson had a chance to sit down with Jason Ronald, director of product management on Xbox Series X, to break down some of what is shared about the most powerful console ever. They also highlighted the Xbox Velocity architecture, the Quick Resume feature, DirectX ray tracing. The Quick Resume is going to be standard. PlayStation is going to do that too. I imagine that that's the future. I mean, that makes sense, right? Like, that's what we do. We bounce between games. Like, I could technically, I guess, do that on PC, right? Just open a bunch of games and minimize the windows, open the windows, whatever. I mean, it would destroy the GPU. Or the CPU.
But you have all those teraflops, so you can do it now.
All them flops. Flop them everywhere. The evolution of the Xbox game bar continues. Exciting. The customizable gaming overlay built into Windows 10 for PC. Starting today, insiders will have access to apps from partners like Razer, XSplit, and Intel directly from Xbox Game Bar through new widgets. So no having to hit Control and Tab. More great titles hitting Xbox Game Pass. We have Alvastia Chronicles, Journey to the Savage Planet, Overcooked 2, Football Manager 2020, Mistover, and Stranger Things 3. Project xCloud preview adds more great games from EA. So we have The Sims 4, Unravel 2, and Dragon Age Inquisition. Great games are coming to the Project xCloud. Forza Street races onto mobile on May 5th. That's right. Forza Street is coming to iOS and Android on May 5th. What else we got? Breaking down the five things you need to know about Gears Tactics. Gears Tactics is a thing. Players assume the role of Gabriel Gabe Diaz as he recruits, equips, and commands his squad on a mission to hunt down the relentless leaders of the Locust Army, Yukon, or Akon. I don't know. I'm guessing it's Yukon. For more on Gears Tactics, included, you can click there, but yada yada. That is coming on April 28th on Windows PC, Steam, and Xbox Game Pass for the, whatchamacallit, the beta.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. Sea of Thieves, free ships and fortune update.
And cats.
And you got cats now.
That's all that matters is the fucking cats.
A new batch of ID at Xbox Games is coming to Xbox One. The Last Campfire, Atomicrops, Hotline Miami Collection. And Hotline Miami Collection is available now.
We saw some more Yakuza games coming their way as well.
Yakuza.
So this was, I watched it, it was okay. Mediocre at best, you know? Nothing major announced.
Yeah, it was a good show.
It was enough.
The Inside Xbox events are not the place where they do the major things, so that was another thing that, like, fans were a little upset about. Like, they wanted more Xbox Series X news, but, like, why would you get that at an Inside Xbox?
You wouldn't get that there.
Inside Xbox is all about current. It's all about what they have coming,
happening
like
in the very near future,
right? Yeah. So
this is out today and tomorrow. Goodbye.
Right. I would imagine you're not going to get anything Series X until probably late summer.
Yeah, at least
from an Inside Xbox.
Yeah, maybe in that summer,
like in August.
AGN thing, yeah. Maybe.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm saying from Inside Xboxes specifically, like they're going to have their E3. Time.
Oh no! Once they have a huge dump, like here's a Series X price, they'll probably have one.
Get that stuff out of the way, right? Exactly.
All right, Nintendo in China is
not
doing so well. So China has banned all sales of Animal Crossing: New Horizons in suspected censorship scuffle. So I did a little digging, and apparently, as of today, there are only 3 games on the Nintendo eShop in China. Did you know this?
That's I knew that it. They were very little.
So I saw a little side article. I was like, how old could this possibly be? Is it from last year? No, but it was like last month. And that's it. That's all they allow. So apparently, and this comes from NintendoLife.com, while no official word has been issued on why the ban has taken place. Some have suspected that it's related to the fact that the game can be used to share materials online, such as political slogans that are generally frowned upon by the Chinese government.
Yes,
the game's pattern editing mode permits players to create their own messages and slogans that can be viewed by other players around the world. And this one Twitter user, Joshua Wong, did a whole thing
spelling out save me.
And it says free Hong Kong.
Please help.
Send help. Send everyone here.
Yeah.
So what's more alarming is that
they're just gonna have to turn that off.
The game is not in China as of the moment, but Nintendo is partnering with Tencent to bring a special Animal Crossing console to the region. Yeah. Which is gonna be an empty box, I imagine, because they're gonna water it down. Feature-wise, to such an extent, because they don't want to have this in people's hands in China or Hong Kong, for that matter. It's a weird thing when you look at what's happening now in the world. Like, we have to stop placating to China. Like, Nintendo should say, "Nope, we're gonna sell it our way, the full way. And if you don't want it, just fuck off. Like, take your profits elsewhere. We don't want them. We don't want your business."
It's just too much money. They're publicly traded companies. That's the only reason why
they are. I know, but it just sucks. Like Animal Crossing, bat eating bats. We're totally fine with that. That's China's new slogan.
Yeah, I don't. Their world is gonna be very different.
It will be in a couple of months. It'll be very different.
Yeah, it's gonna be very different. All right. Yeah. So they got to work some things out. It's gonna happen. Here is our wild card. Randy is at it again. God damn it.
Or so it may seem.
Mm-hmm. This is coming from Kotaku, who is begging me to whitelist the website.
But you won't.
No, I will not. Because some of those shit autoplay and it's very loud. All right. Sources. Despite huge sales, Borderlands 3 developers are getting stiffed on bonuses.
Yes, they are.
I'm pausing at that because, like, when does this fucking stop? When does it stop, Andy?
So here's the thing with this. So if you subtract Randy's dickishness or reported dickishness in this scenario, there can be justification for what's going on. So apparently, there were super high projections of sales for Borderlands 3 that they thought they could give their people 5 to 6 figure bonuses. That did not happen because the game, according to Gearbox, cost a lot to make and they couldn't put out the cash. Randy decided to be a huge asshole and say, "Hey, if you don't like it, just quit. If you can't get your bonus that you were supposedly promised," which wasn't set in stone, just, "Hey, this might happen. You might get a huge bonus." And he was a bit of an asshole on a call with 2K, and he said some terrible things, which are in this chat. I don't know if I can find it. But what are your thoughts overall while I scroll through here?
Well, it's my story. I'm going to fucking read it.
Yes, you may.
And employees at the studio will get a small bonus check, but nothing close to the tens of thousands or even hundreds of thousands of dollars they may have expected. This account is based on conversations with 6 people close to Gearbox, all speaking anonymously because they are not authorized to talk about what happened. Some said it was crushing news that this has upended their financial plans for the future. Gearbox, based in Frisco, Texas, offers its employees below average salaries for the video game industry, according to more than a dozen current and former Gearbox staff who have spoken to Kotaku over the years. To make up for that, the studio offers something unique: profit sharing. Royalties from all of the developers' games are split 60-40, with 60% going back to the company and its owners, while 40% is distributed to the employees in the form of quarterly bonuses. The system has been in place since Gearbox's inception, and when the company has big hits, it can be lucrative. When 2012's massive Borderlands 2 came out, many Gearbox workers made enough money to buy houses, a fact that the studio often touted while recruiting new employees. Since then, however, Gearbox has been struggling, failing to find much financial success with flops like Aliens, Colonial Marines, and Battleborn.
Oh, fuck, Battleborn. That was a game.
That game happened.
Oh, my God.
As a result, quarterly bonuses have been smaller in recent years. In 2020, that was supposed to change, with several Gearbox employees told Kotaku that the company management promised them six-figure bonuses following the launch of Borderlands 3. The more years they've been with the company, the larger the check. This vision of financial success helped Gearbox's developers get through the many long nights and weekends working on the game. Then, in a meeting yesterday, here's where it gets really titillating, Randy Pitcher told employees that Borderlands 3 bonus checks would be significantly lower than they hoped, according to three people who were present. He said the game has been more expensive than expected. The company has grown significantly larger than it had been in the past. It now operates a second studio in Quebec, Canada, and that their sales projections have been off base. The game sold very well. The game had sold very well. Quote, we expect lifetime unit sales to be a record for the series, said Strauss Zelnick, CEO of 2K parent company Take-Two, on an earnings call. But it cost way too much to make. One large factor was the technology swap midway through development from Unreal Engine 3 to Unreal Engine 4, which added a great deal of time to the project. In addition, before Gearbox could receive any royalties from publisher 2K, Borderlands 3 would have to recoup not just the game's entire budget, which was $95 million, but also for the budget of all downloadable content, a sum of closer to $140 million in total, thanks to a contract that the two companies had signed. So we're looking at like $140 million for the game and all DLC that they have to make back. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's... Still, so yesterday's news combined with word of Pitchford's hefty bonus has upset a number of Gearbox employees, some of whom say they expect an exodus in the near future. I mean, the writing's been on the wall, right? Like, he's just a cancer in that studio.
So here's, I feel two ways about this, because A, it's Randy, and Randy is just a semi-large piece of shit in the gaming
he's
world.
He's a floating turd.
He's just very shady, and he's very selfish as well. But when you say things like financial plans, that to me just says someone said, oh, you're going to hit the lottery in a couple of weeks or months rather. And you buy a bunch of shit. And I say, you know what? That lottery jackpot can be way smaller. Like I don't buy a bunch of shit or make plans on a bonus. Like I plan
well,
with my salary.
That's not necessarily a fair criticism.
Well, also if I could buy a house in the last game, like I may pretty well off at that point. I don't know.
But they're talking about they use that as a lure to get people to work for the studio for less money than their competitors. Now, when you're working in say a sales position that is commission based, they're like, "Hey, we give you a base salary. It's a lower base salary. It's like $26,000 a year, whatever it is, but our quarterly bonuses, here's where what we've made in the last year. Someone in your position has made, say, $70,000 in bonuses for the year. So you're looking at a $20,000, you know, bonus, a quarterly bonus, or whatever it is. Like, that's your nut right there. And then you look at it, and you're like, wow, that's great. And then you sign a contract, right? But the contract you're signing doesn't say you're guaranteed to make X amount, but it's saying, like, here's what we have made in the past. And to be quite frank, it was poor management that is the direct reason why they're not making the bonuses they expected to make.
Well, we have to consider this also.
What? And yeah. I just want to say, and that management got their money, got their bonuses, right, got their whatever. So right. I think that overall in the corporate world. It should always go bottom up, not top down when it comes to bonuses and or revenue sharing. It should always start at the bottom because managers...
Right, because they make the most on the top as it is.
Some of them don't. Like, for example, the company that I used to work for, like the president of the company doesn't take a salary. He only gets quarterly bonuses.
Right, but predominantly, that's the case. Usually, most CEOs make more than the average employee.
Yes, absolutely. But what I'm saying is, like, when it's a revenue sharing thing, if you're saying 60-40 with, you know, 40% going to everybody, that everybody should start at the bottom, and it should be enough where, because if you're managing the project great, if you're super under budget or whatever, you're on target, your marketing is in the right spot, like, then you're going to make your money as a manager, because you're going to be able to funnel that down and start right. with, you know, from the bottom. Like, for example, if you know your bonus is going to be, let's say, 50% of your salary, like not 50% of your total salary. I mean, like half of what you make as a base salary gets added as a bonus. Like, that's huge. But if you start from the bottom up, like if somebody's making $36,000, you know, that's a, you know, $15,000 bonus, you know, like something like that. And like, you do that for 50 employees, and then the next 50, they're going to get $30,000, and the next, you know, 25 are going to get $60,000. And then the next 20, like those big heavy hitters, they get six figures. And then what you're left with is what you can give your officers in the company. And that might be $3 million spread across five or six people. Okay, that's fine.
A good chunk of money for five people.
It's still a big chunk of money, but like, it's because you managed it well that it happened, not because it. To me, it feels like no matter how that game did, no matter what their budget was, Randy Pitchford was going to get paid.
Right, but again, I just want to point out that there's a lot of factors here, and that's, again, it's the budget, the engine switching, the amount of employees they're splitting profits with, and just to recoup what the game cost, which was higher than they thought, and then also the sales were lower than they expected. I have no doubt that Randy made more than most people at that company. But it just, like, when you the headline kind of screams like Randy has a satchel full of cash that was he stole from his own employees. That's not what's happening here.
That did happen already. That's not what's happening here. He did that already.
Right. He can't do more. Like, I will do it again. Don't fucking tempt me.
It was like $3 million, right? Like, he took like $3 million.
Yeah, some shit like that.
Whatever. He doesn't.
Like, I get that you're trying to have this like sales pitch, like, work for us, you'll buy a house in a year, or whatever the fuck the sales pitch is, or overselling where you can get bonus wise. With all, it's like, earn a huge bonus, asterisk, is what it sounds like.
Well,
you know,
I don't think that's fair. I think that they
it
had
isn't fair. It isn't fair.
They I don't mean like the thing. I think. I don't think it's fair to criticize management for using that as a pitch, because that's the way it was in the past. But during development, they fucked up so much. They blew up the budget for it. They signed bad contracts. They made poor decisions to upgrade the engine in you know, mid.
Who are making those calls, though? Is that management? Is that Randy?
That's Randy and management. Absolutely. It's 100%. It's, you know, the employees aren't saying, hey, we're switching over to Unreal 4, guys. Like, that's not...
Midway through.
I'm sure the game was delayed a year because of it, you know, or at least. I don't know. Just some food for thought. We have a quote-unquote... Oh, let me make sure this isn't... Hold on. No, okay. So, Buzz dropped a link in the chat that there's a supposed, quote, leak for Nintendo's plan for the supposed Nintendo Direct for E3.
Oh boy, here we go.
Yeah, I know you saw this earlier, and I did not make the doc, but this is an interesting little thing. This is from Game Rant. Even though E3 2020 is canceled, companies like Microsoft and Nintendo are still expected to hold digital presentations. According to this leak, there's a Super Mario Lego sets. The Super Mario Lego sets will be revealed along with WarioWare Switch It Up. The ARMS Super Smash Bros. Ultimate character, said to be Springman, Ribbon Girl, Ninjara, and Min Min, in a Koopalings situation. So, like, I guess all the Koopalings I kind of have their own personality, whatever. Sure. The rumored Super Mario HD bundle, which has Super Mario 3D World Deluxe. There's the HD bundle, and then Super Mario 3D World Deluxe with Waluigi and Toadette. The new Paper Mario Switch game, Pikmin 3 Switch port with a Pikmin 4 confirmation, the announcement of F-Zero Turbo, a Rare Replay port, Donkey Kong Country games for Switch Online. Okay. Geno as a Smash Bros. Ultimate Fighter, and the reveal of Super Mario RPG.
This is, you're putting way too much in here now, guy. What else can you give us? Metroid Prime 5 is going to get announced on the same day.
No, I would say
we're getting a new punch out.
This person, the person that is making this,
Star Fox.
It's a 4chan thing. Right. It's from the same leaker that had every single leak that they had for Pokemon Sword and Shield came true. So, if that adds any weight to this, whatever. First of all, the fact that Metroid Prime 4 is not mentioned in this, or Metroid Prime trilogy is not mentioned in this, makes me want to slap somebody in the mouth. Because if this is true, if any of this is true,
nothing on Bayonetta 3.
This is entirely too much.
For real? No, this is really like someone just, it's a wish. Someone's trying to will this into existence. Like, it's a lot. It's just so much stuff. Like, one or two things I could see being true, like maybe Pikmin 4 or Pikmin 3 Switch. That sounds real. I'll buy that. But Mario RPG remake? I don't know.
Why would they don't do that. They don't do remakes, right? Like, they don't remake their old games.
Right. They just put it on, they just put it on the
original version. Online. Yeah, like, right. I don't know.
Geno as a Smash Fighter? That sounds nice, but again, I don't see it happening. Because we're gonna
Geno as a Smash Fighter is just one of those... That's the one that makes me feel like it's fake, because that's like totally
just a
fanboy boner thing, right? Like, that's totally like, fan, like, oh, this will get them real hard. This will get the clicks. Geno and Smash. Boner alert.
Yeah, and also the whole thing with Rare Replay. There's too many Xbox exclusives on that to put on Nintendo Switch, I feel.
Super Nintendad says they started doing remakes with the Mario and Luigi RPG games on 3DS. I'm inclined to think that, I don't know, Switch, I feel like those are like remakes, but they're also not to the scale a Switch remake would have to be. Especially when Capcom and Square are doing the scale of remakes that they're doing. I think the word remake is going to have a little bit more weight to it now.
Yeah, plus it's a 16-bit game with sprites. If you remake, that's be a full-blown remake, like with modern 3D graphics in a sense.
He makes a good point that Link's Awakening was a remake, and I think right. Put it this way, is Super Mario RPG a game that runs poorly? That doesn't look great. That doesn't hold up today. Like, Link's Awakening is one of those games that you play it, and believe me, I know, I streamed it for like 3 weeks. It's not a game that is fun to play. It's just not, and it's stuck on the Game Boy, for God's sakes. Like, that to me was like a prime candidate. I don't know. Super Mario RPG doesn't seem like, what it does seem like is one that could get a, you know, Nintendo, you know, a re-release and then a new game being made in the franchise. I could see that happening for sure.
I do want Geno though in Smash, not gonna lie. He's my top pick because I want to see that franchise just acknowledged at some point by Nintendo. Like, this was a thing that we did once upon a time. Like, it was real. It wasn't a dream.
Right. But it was a partnership that they don't currently have, right? Like, the Square Enix, whatever partnership is not something that they continue to explore.
If we're getting
right?
that FF7 legacy collection on Switch, then this could
you're not going to get that only on Switch. There's no way that if Square Enix does something like that, they're not burying it.
It's
going to
be PC.
Like, you had Octopath Traveler, and even that went to PC,
right?
Which I still don't understand that relationship. I don't know, but whatever.
It's like the rest of us do. That's all it is.
Let's pick our winners and losers, Andy.
Alrighty. I'm going winner is Sony. That controller was like all over the place last week.
It was
in every
huge
headline. It was huge. When you bundle that with FF7 coming out in the same week as his news dropped, huge week for Sony. Huge week.
Yeah, they got a lot of news, they got a lot of press, yeah. They got a lot of shares, they got a lot of tweets, they got a lot of yada yada yada, and it dropped. That all dropped on the same day
for a controller.
As the inside Xbox, right? And it completely dwarfed that. So I'm going to give the W as well to Sony. And I think the L goes to Randy Pitchford and his team.
Yeah, I feel like those employees that feel like, again, they thought they were going to get more than they thought they would.
It's like, even if you just strip that away from it all, it's mm-hmm. just constant poor management. It's right. just the leader of that studio is awful.
What does he have on people that he's still there?
I think he's just got an ironclad contract. I really do. I think that he...
After all this time?
Yeah. I think whatever terms he has... made...
Dude, you would think after the whole Aliens Marines game, that huge debacle of like, let's take the money from this and fund some other game with it. And we showed like fake gameplay to people to get sales. Like, that's fucked. That's really fucked. And that was like 6 years ago, maybe more than that. And he's still there. What would it take to get him out of Gearbox? So is what I'm really wondering right now. What would it take?
I think they need to find a hard drive with kiddie porn on it.
Yeah.
Prison is what... Prison and murder and or heart attack or COVID-19. One of those things would have to happen.
We'll get him out of Gearbox.
Well, that's the only way you get him out of Gearbox. And even then, he would probably fucking haunt them from beyond the grave. Speaking of, you know, horror in games and stuff, it's time to get into the hype zone, Andy. Hype zone.
We've returned to my favorite kind of hype zone. One that involves naked bodies and the flesh.
Oh, yes.
So this title really says it all.
It does.
Predator Hunting Grounds, ESRB rating warns of skinned corpses with exposed butts. And that's it.
Ladies and gentlemen, we got exposed butts.
This is it.
And you know what that means, folks. It's time for Steve's rendition of butts, 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 butts. Everybody! Butts, 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 butts,
baby got back. Baby got back, all right? And that shit's exposed.
We love our butts here on Dual Screens. We do. I have no idea what that's going to sound like because I was moving the mic a lot. I was humping the chair a little bit.
And I cannot lie. Yes, this whole, more games should adopt an exposed butts policy.
I want to. Can we read this whole?
That's the true forward thinking mentality that the next gen needs.
Can we please read what the ESRB has said about this game? Because I love their blurbs because it's like, it's almost as if a teenager is trying to tell their mom what's in the game.
All right, here we go. This is a first-third-person shooter in which players engage in combat missions as either a mercenary soldier or an alien predator. Most missions involve infiltrating areas, e.g. camps, jungle outposts, villages, in order to obtain intel or destroy targets. Players use pistols, machine guns, chain guns, and explosives to kill enemies in frenetic firefights. Combat is highlighted by frequent gunfire, screams of pain, and blood splatter effects.
Also true, yes.
Some explosions weapons cause bodies to burst into chunks of flesh / limbs.
Yes, they do.
The predator can use blades and laser weapons to decapitate enemies. Yes. As the predator, players can also perform execution-style finishing moves on soldiers. The victim's skulls and spines get ripped from their bodies. Some scenes depict skinned corpses and exposed buttocks. One mission prompts players to locate packages of drugs in a compound and to eventually burn them. The words fuck and shit appear in the dialogue. Wow. That is very detailed and very necessary. That's the greatest thing ever. Who wrote this? I want this person's name. The words fucking shit appear in the dialogue.
Great. Oh, we love it. We love it. All right. It is time now to get into our mailbag. Let's see if anybody wrote anything in our mailbag. It is deathly silent. Nothing in our Discord mailbag. So we're going to get
chat. Chat's here, though. Come on.
We
chat.
Do have a chat. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to open it up to our Twitch chat. That's twitch.tv/dualscreenstreams, 9 p.m. every single Sunday. That's Eastern time. So, chat, tell us what you want to know. Give us your questions, comments, and concerns right now. We're doing it live, guys. We're doing it live. We're doing it live. Mikey Kirsch, no long thing because it's finals week. That's why he's been silent. He's been silent because of finals week.
You know, I think we should have more exposed butts. Like, in life and in general, you know, might bring about world peace if you expose more butts.
You know? All of a sudden, you got super low. Why'd you get so low?
No, because I walked away from it. I leaned
don't,
back.
You're walking away from your microphone? You don't care back. About our listeners because...
I did a lean back.
You just don't care. You just don't
care. I do care. I care more than most.
You've never cared. That's not true. Of course you have. Give us your questions.
All right. Moving on now.
We're not moving on.
Time's up.
We're not moving on.
Time's up. Me too. Whatever hashtag you want to say.
Well, we got this is before we get into Retro Game Club, which I don't know. Did anybody write in? No, probably not. But we can remind them what
they're... Oh, we got a question.
We did. What game... this is coming from Missed Enough. What game characters are likely serial killers?
Waluigi. Or Luigi.
So, not evident. So, like, obviously, Nathan Drake is a serial killer. He's killed so many different people. But right. I think if we're going, like, not obvious, like, they're not killing people on screen... I think
like if you remove all the death from the game itself, like
right,
if
I think Tom Nook is definitely a serial killer.
Oh yeah,
I think he. That's why he's you know, starting this.
He'd order hits.
Absolutely not. He's doing the punch. He runs a cult. That's all he does.
But the cult will kill for him, just like what's his face.
They're all going to drink the punch.
You know, Charles Manson. He didn't right. kill anybody. He just, you know, had a devoted group of followers. That
Tommy
did,
and
know,
Timmy.
Yeah.
And Marlene, is that her name? Something like that. I mean, he definitely looks like he's going to smother somebody with a pillow.
Creep fact, like he would skin you and wear you as a hat is what he would do, I feel.
He looks so uninterested in being where he is.
Alive.
And like, I think he does it only so that he could eventually murder the people on the island. Because that's what happens. Like, you abandon the game eventually, right?
Right.
Everyone's going to get murdered.
Right.
For sure. There's no doubt in my mind. Any other questions from our devout, beautiful group of people here? I'm going to scroll up and see if we find any, if there were any comments that I missed throughout the show. Missed Enough has a bug spreadsheet that he's keeping track of all the bugs that he's capturing and how much they cost in the game. That's great.
Stretch my legs out. It feels good.
Stretch them legs, bro. Maybe do a little twisty twist. Missed Enough says Dr. Light is definitely secretly a serial killer.
Dr. Light? Oh, my God. I never thought of that before. Yes, yeah, so he sends out Mega Man. Go stop those robots. I'm going to go kill some people.
Oh, here's a good question from Super Nintendad. Should Little Mac or King Hippo be in ARMS 2, or should someone from ARMS be in the next Punch-Out? First of all, the answer is yes, but I'm going to assume that you mean which one of those two should happen. I think characters from ARMS should be in Punch-Out.
Mm-hmm.
I think they would be really interesting, like me, like wide looping punches. That would be cool.
It would have been nice if we had like if ARMS sold better and we got DLC for it. We could have seen some.
We got DLC, didn't we? We got
really?
Characters, right?
One or two.
I can't remember if we got DLC characters for the game or if they just revealed characters
later on.
I don't remember.
Me neither.
Like I remember Twintel being
a
thing.
But I played it for a week when it first came on. That was it. Never played it again.
Yeah. No, I liked it. It definitely made me sweat a lot. I've said this before. It felt like a arena shooter game because it wasn't really hand to hand combat because you had to be, you know, it was like I don't know, it was like shooting but like slow projectiles in like right. a little arena. Like that's what it felt like to me. It didn't feel like a fighting or a boxing game. It felt like a shooting game, which was cool. Super Nintendad says they added them in the same way they added weapons in Splatoon and Splatoon 2. So it was like a little add-ons.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Donkey Kong in the Wii Punch-Out was great. That was so cool.
I know. That was a lot of fun. See, they should do more of that stuff. Like, you have such a wealth of characters and IP that can cross over and have fun with.
Yeah.
Just fucking do it.
Maltese has a question, Andy.
Oh, he does now.
Mario plus Rabbids Kingdom Battle on sale. Do it? Question mark?
Yes.
Yep.
Do it.
Yep.
Now is the time for that game. It's a fun game. Yes. So much yes.
It's a fun game. It's really well made. It's funny. It's challenging. Like, if you're playing on normal difficulty, it's plenty challenging. Very good. If you like XCOM, this is a Nintendo Mario XCOM. A lot of fun. Still have not beaten that game, Andy. I have to.
And there was DLC for that too.
There was DLC, and there's like a multiplayer mode too.
Mm-hmm.
That was couch multiplayer, right?
Yes, it was couch co-op.
And then there was online versus.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. It's been so long since I played that game, but yeah, it's a fantastic game. I'm up to this third to last level, I think, or second to last level.
Well, that's a fun last boss too in that game. See, if that's in your backlog, you should take it on.
I know, Andy.
If you're that close, just take it. Just do it. Go for it.
I will be honest with you. I'm not very good at the game.
It's not that difficult.
I'm not an XCOM guy. Like, I don't normally play games like that.
Just set it to easy mode. That's what you can do.
Super Nintendo says we should have a Nintendo football / American football. Well, that's what he meant specifically. Game with peoples from all Nintendo IPs. Yes, absolutely. The more sports games, the better. That's I'd how I feel
that.
About it.
I'd play that.
All of them. That is going to do it for us for the mailbag. So we're going to wrap that up. Retro Game Club. I don't remember what game I gave last week.
I picked Galarians. What the and hell did I pick? I don't recall what you picked last week. I didn't make a note.
Oh, Resistance 3.
Oh, yes. That's what it was.
Now I remember. Resistance 3. So that is your all your assignments. You got to play these games. Let us know what you think about them. Don't be a jerk about it. Don't be stupid.
We'll come and get you.
You jerks. I'm going to hook up my PS3. I think I'm going to do that tonight.
We'll send Candyman after you.
Gonna get you. That's going to do it for the show. Thank you so much for listening and watching. If you want to follow us on social media, we are at NDS Podcast. I am at BatChild27. Andy is at PantsGuy. If you want to join our Facebook group, it's simple. It's facebook.com/group/DS Podcasts. That's facebook.com/group/DS Podcasts. You could also follow our Facebook page at facebook.com/dualscreens.com, DOTCOM. Follow us on Twitch, twitch.tv/dualscreenstreams. Our YouTube channel is youtube.com/dualscreenstv. You could go to our website, dualscreens.com, for everything dual screens. All of our links and stuff will be there. If you forget what we just told you, you could be like, oh yeah, I could just go to dual screens and all the links will be there as well. And a lot of them will also be in the description of the show in the show notes. Special thanks to our contributors, Zazu Pitts of Sour Note Productions, for our theme song. Thank you, Matt Murray, a.k.a. Miss the Nuff, who is always here, always hanging out. And he made our beautiful overlay here and our dual screens Gamescast logo and all that fun stuff. Thank you, Andrew Douglas, for our cartoon art, which you see all over the place. And guys, if you want to support us, we know the times are tough, but if you got a dollar and you want to support a great podcast, this great, cool network that we have here, patreon.com/NDS podcast, $1, like I said, gets you in the VIP Discord channel. It gets you, which you don't only hang out with us. We have indie devs in there too. Like, a lot of our guests join our Discord and hang out with you guys, talk to you, do Q&As all the time, like just kind of just chill. It's a great place to hang out. And sometimes we get into like heated arguments, but it's more like just a bunch of brothers fighting. Like Miss the Nuff and Thorn, they get into fights all the time, just arguing back and forth.
Oh,
me and Buzz and everybody, really, just going at it. It's like a family reunion of a bunch of dumb idiots just arguing all the time. It's great. And we would appreciate it because, you know, as you know, times are tough. And so growing, it helps us grow, which is great. And if you want to buy some of our merch, dualscreens.com/store, we'll take you right to our Teespring page. That's going to do it. Andy, is there anything you want to tell the kids before we go?
No, just again, be safe, be awesome, and go play FF7 Remake, because the game is fucking masterpiece. That's all I'm going to say.
Yes, it is.
That's yes, it.
Thank you so much for watching live, Twitch people. We love you very much. Thank you so much for listening. Take care. And as always, please be excellent